Like to call to order a special call meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. There's one item on our agenda tonight, and that is the superintendent's presentation of our budget. At the conclusion of that presentation, we'll give each board member, if they choose, an opportunity to make a comment. And then if you need additional information from what you see tonight, it would be a good time to let the superintendent know that. And then we will be back here Thursday at 5:30 for a work session on that budget. I'd like to thank Councilman Vogel and Callison and Hope for being here tonight. Appreciate you taking your time. And I know you don't have anything else to do, so we appreciate you being here tonight. And the importance of this, this is a collective endeavor with both the council and the Board of Education to provide a quality education for our students. So with that being said, Dr. Borchers, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, we'll have Lynn put the PowerPoint presentation up. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start, as we have in the past, with sharing some things about our focus on students. Many of these things you already have heard, we've talked about, so I'll go through those fairly quickly, but I also think it's important to realize all the great things that are happening in the school district. We'll talk about some comparisons, our achievements, and then get into some of the numbers that we're currently looking at. I think it's important to remember that we're really being strategically focused with our continuous improvements. We've talked about Oak Ridge 2020 over the last 2 months and had those presentations here in front of the board. We have a very clear mission statement, guiding principles, the vision, and our strategic directions. And as the board knows, we've got the detailed scorecards behind all of those measures. In addition, now we've been working on the seven keys for about 4 years. And we're seeing some movement on there, and we'll highlight some of those things. But a big piece of our professional development behind those keys is our project-based learning and this focus on students and teachers' energizing minds. And I think that focus, that professional development, is paying dividends in multiple ways. Our key seven, we'll highlight that. We've had some great growth, and this is to go back and talk about dual enrollment and looking for other resources to continue to offer programs. I can't wait to report on 2017 and the number of industry certifications that we've achieved throughout this year. As I mentioned, our focus on STEM and the project-based learning, I think the ability to be the first district to have every elementary school and middle school advanced STEM certified is a direct result of the focus that we've had. This is not easy. Our elementaries did it without devices in one-to-one and Access Oak Ridge, but the data from Advanced Ed for our middle schools and the use of technology for instruction really was an incredible highlight of their review when they came to see us. So we hope that next year in the fall, I think we're still planning the fall for the high school to go for that certification. And if that would be the case, we'd be the first school in the country, first school district in the country to have every school STEM certified. Just some most recent things, some fun things. Of course, our Jefferson students took first in the world. That's not the state, that's not the country, that is the world. Just some amazing things that our kids and our staff are doing and working so hard to do. We've talked about our automotive maintenance and light repair. And again, this was something that Alan and his folks did in-house to renovate that project. And it's just been a highlight. Next year, I'm happy to report that we now have, I think, approximately 70 students signed up for our Navy ROTC program, and that is kicking off. A couple weeks ago, there was a presentation from our instructor, our chief, and they were getting fit for uniforms and all kinds of things like that. So it's happening, and it will be happening for our kids next year. And we're doing all of this through Key 7, through this project-based learning, because of this quote, if you ask me. Because of technology, where it's going, if we don't create problem solvers, critical thinkers, people that can collaborate, if they don't have those skills, it's going to be very difficult to survive in this future economy. So everything we're doing always has this in the background. Our Access Oak Ridge, as you know, is expanding. We've done a great job where we're getting to that equitable access. We've been chipping away at that every year. As you guys know, we went 5 to 10 this year, and we'll be expanding 11, 12 next year. So we'll be full Access Oak Ridge devices for kids, middle schools, and high school. Now, a little bit of the context as we get closer and get into some of our numbers here. This is our projected enrollment, and this isn't an up or down page. This is just what we think will be there next year. Overall, we think approximately at this point we'll be down about 36 students. You see the projected staffing with that enrollment, and Karen's going to talk more about this in a little bit. But we roughly have 660 staff people here with us, and that doesn't include about 150 subs. So that's 800 people. And when you look at that bottom piece of the chart here, 82% of our budget is people. And that's not unheard of for school districts to have that percentage. But when we talk about budget, when we talk about increasing that budget or decreasing that budget, it really is about impacting people. This is a graph about advanced placement exams, and it shows every district in the state of Tennessee. I know it's hard to see, but the color of each district represents the number of last year's 12th graders who scored at least a three on an AP exam while in high school. And you can see the two green areas up there. Of course, it's us and then Williamson County. So we're held in high regard in the rigor that we have in advanced placement. Here's the last 6-7 years of ACT composite scores. So regardless of some of the factors that have changed, we continue to score well and we continue to do well because of the high expectations I think that our teachers and staff have K-12. So let's talk salary a little bit. This is a chart the board sees every year about this time. And you can see now we're 23rd out of 144 Tennessee school districts. That second bullet, I think, is important because we're slipping a little bit. We went from 15th to 23rd from FY14. And then as you take a look at this graph, this chart, we're 23. And then you can see the Maryville, Lenore City above us. And then you have Alcoa, Knox, Roan, and Anderson. And we're beginning to hear what people are suggesting and proposing to offer their staff. Knoxville, we're hearing 3%. I know Maryville, I've talked to their superintendent. Forwarding 3%. Anderson, we learned, was 2% earlier this year. So if you look at those numbers and if you don't maintain that ranking, you quickly are unable to attract and retain the high-quality staff that we would like to have here. The next chart is for our administrators. You can see there we're 12th out of 144 school districts. And again, Maryville, some of our competition. And you can see that we're 12, Alcoa, and then Knox. But it doesn't take long for those rankings to slip if we take some years where we're not giving an increase and others are. This page is about position changes, as it states, and the next slide will show actual new staff investment. But we've had some movement around here. The board earlier got a very detailed explanation of our Title I changes that have occurred that have made some of this happen, and other pieces our other staff can talk about as far as new staff. So we are, I want to point out, talking about reduction or attrition, two teachers at Oak Ridge High School. So we're not losing those teachers, but we have some teachers retiring and we're choosing to use attrition for those positions. So the new investments, and it's unfortunate, and I'm hoping that maybe there's hope here in the next month or so, but at this point, we're recommending, all we can afford at this point is a step, and I think our board is familiar with the step, so that would be no cost of living increase for the, as you can see there, almost 60% of our staff that would not have an increase. That's either due to them not being on a step or they have topped out in their steps and lanes. And we have a lot of veteran staff that happens to. So that point's in important because we do have a lot of people on steps, but that doesn't mean they necessarily move. So that would affect 60% of our staff. The new staffing pieces here, this is because of a reduction in the title budget for our preschool. Those first three positions there now are out of a general fund. The next piece, Mr. Lake could speak to that either tonight or Thursday, but that's to equal the FTE that Robertsville currently has. Is that correct, Mr. Lake?
Yes, that would be correct. Basically, Robertsville has a 1.0 position in career exploration, and Jefferson is at a point six.
Then we have our ROTC, which I think we all agree is a great thing for our students. A reading coach position, adding 0.25 out of our general fund, and I think we all can understand our focus on literacy, key number one, why we would want to increase that. And then the board just recently took a visit to the technology department, and you heard probably their biggest need, and this is that one need that they were talking about, the systems administrator. For everybody else that was here, we know that our current person who does this job at some points during this last year was on the job 27 days straight, because we are so technology driven. These systems have to be up and running. It contains our content. Everything we do is on our technology platform, and we can't have that go down. So without a backup, this person is it at all hours of the day and has to be there. So we think instead of having hopefully not having our system crash and not be available, that this person could help as a backup. So those are the investments. I'm going to hand this over to Karen to kind of talk about how we're going to get there.
Okay, balancing the budget. All things considered, the expenditures that are built in to date and the revenues that we have estimated, we're proposing to use $1.3 million out of our fund balance. That will balance the budget to expenditures and revenues equaling. Talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But looking ahead at what it would cost to give a salary adjustment, it shows up there 1% is $382,494, 2% $764,988, and a 3% $1,147,482. Let's see, I'm going to go into a little. We have a slide here about the history of our salary adjustments, and it's goes from 17 to 09. Some information there. Okay, talking about fund balance a little bit, the best practices for business and for school business especially is to carry anywhere from an 8 to 10% of fund balance in comparison to your operating expenditures and revenues expenditures. As of right now, our estimated percentage for the end of FY17 is about 8.4%. So we're right on the edge of that recommendation of 8 to 10. If we use the $1.3 million to balance the FY18 budget, it's estimated that at the end of FY18, June 30th, we will be at about 5.92% of fund balance. So dropping below the recommendation. The reason for the 8 to 10%, and I'm kind of just summarizing what's in the print here, but typically you keep about 6% for cash flow, and I'm going to show you some charts that kind of illustrate what that means, and then 4% for emergency, whether it's equipment failure or catastrophic something that you've got to come up, you know, with money. So at the end of FY18, we will basically just be taking care of cash flow. Okay. This shows you a graph of our historical trends with our fund balances. And it's kind of hard to see, but the line that's about in the center of all those, it's blue with the blue triangles, that represents where we are for FY17. Sort of in the middle of where we've been over the years. This is the projected fund balance for FY18, and you can see it's up and down, and the next slide will show you why it's so up and down, but it ends out at about just a little over $3 million in comparison to FY17 ending out at $4.5 million approximately. Okay, this is an overlay of the cash flow as it relates to fund balance. The green bars represent the cash inflows, and the red bars represent the cash outflows or the expenditures. And so you can see that the green bar, the cash inflow, is not consistent all the way across. It goes up and down depending on the month, and that's basically sales and property tax and BEP allocations that are varied over those months. So it's not like a paycheck where you get the same check every month, but you still have the same expenditures or more sometimes in certain months. So that's why it's important to have cash flow. When you just look at the fund balance by itself, it's like, oh wow, you have so much in there. But then when you relate it to what you have to pay out each month, it shows how you have to have it to cover. Okay, what are some of the expenditures we are going to pay for with fund balance? Typically, it's supposed to be items that are non-salary and benefit in nature. So you can see we've got the debt service payment, which was a technology lease that we are paying on. We have site development equipment, capital outlay, building improvements. These are some improvements that are not part of the CIP at the city level, but rather usually cost under $50,000 in nature. So we try to take care of some of those smaller things if we can in-house. We have an allocation for engineers and consultants that have to do with those types of projects. We have a district potential liability for IRS, which was a filing issue a number of years ago that has never surfaced, but it's there as a contingency in case we have any fines. Instructional equipment and furniture. This is the allocation that's split among buildings based on the number of pupils in the building and the rate for the particular level, whether it be elementary, middle, or high school per student. We have some money in there for some temporary help for technology and some software. And the temporary help is really for gearing up for preparing devices when they're issued to students and those kinds of things that are kind of not all year long, but sporadically. We have trustee commissions, which are fees that we pay for the counties to collect the revenue and distribute it to us. We have a maintenance truck and some transportation, the maintenance truck is a replacement, and then we have some money in there to repair some of our buses, some of our older buses, before they're surplus. Sometimes we have major equipment things that need to be replaced, so that's in there. And then the preschool had some contracted services that they were not able to cover in Title I, so we picked those up. So that totals up to our $1,000,003. And these are the next steps in this process. We have a special board meeting on Thursday. On Monday, we have another special board meeting with the one on Thursday is a kind of a strategy session. On Monday, we have our line-by-line review of the budget. And then we go on to that Wednesday where there's a public hearing and first reading. And then the next Monday, adoption of the budget, and this happens to be at a regular board meeting and second reading. May 30th, we have a special meeting at City Council to present the budget. And June 5th, the council has the public hearing and first reading for the entire budget. And June 12th, the public hearing and second reading, and hopefully adoption, June 12th. Are there any questions?
This is not a question. Well, maybe it is a question. Would you go back to the slide that shows the dip in the fund balance and how that fluctuates from month to month?
Sure. Was it this
go
one?
To the go okay. back to that one. Just listen to that one. Would you okay. explain? I think this is sometimes one of the most misunderstood items within our budget of, and you pointed this out, of we look at what you have in fund balance and the perception is you have that money in fund balance and that money stays constant across the board from month to month when it really doesn't. And if you didn't have that fund balance, there would be an issue to handle that. Could you did this, but would you again just maybe pinpoint mm-hmm. a couple of reasons why it dips and then goes up and comes back down like that?
Yes. Most times people confuse fund balance with a savings account, which it's not at all similar, because your savings account is usually something that you set aside in case of an emergency. It's not something you use to balance your books every month, unless you're budgeting in deficit like we are. The fluctuations are basically because of when the revenues are received, and the BEP fluctuates. The months that you see it low are low BEP months or not received at all. I believe it's October and July. And then we have the county revenue collections, which really can trickle in at times, and then we get large amounts when they're due. You know, people pay them when they're due. So we're working around those kinds of items. So our top three largest revenues then are the county revenues, the state revenue, and the city allocation. The city allocation is a steady allocation. They take the allocation, divide it by 12, we get the same amount each month. That's the closest thing to a paycheck, is that allocation. But the rest are very sporadic. We have startup costs on the expenditure side at the beginning of the year, where lots of things are purchased, so we have more expenses. Some of that can level off. It just depends on whatever our initiatives are that year. Does that help explain more?
Mm-hmm. And would you go to the last slide?
Yes. Fine thing.
Manuel, not the
not
one
that
before
one.
Before
second
the
to
one
last.
Before that one.
Sorry.
Again, just to, for those who are watching and in the audience, and the board obviously knows this, but there are opportunities for the public to be here. Particularly on May 17th, to voice their concerns or voice their praise, whichever direction they might want to go. But there is a time for the public to be here. And certainly even in the work sessions, the public is invited to come to that, and would indicate by the time we get down to June the 12th, if you have something to say about the budget, be it the school budget or the city budget, you've waited too long. It's too late. So take advantage of these other dates. If you have input that you'd like to give to the board, or I'm not speaking for, but would say also when city council is in their budget presentations and deliberations, the time is not at the last. The time is at the first, and the time is now. If you're a community member and want to have your input. So, board members, comments, Mr. Eby?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions, and after everybody, I've got some comments too. Let me make sure I understand, Dr. Borchers, what you're presenting in this budget is only a step increase, no raise for the basic salary. That's what's being presented.
That's correct.
And that's being balanced on expected revenues, what you expect from the state, what you expect from the county, and what you expect from the city, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
And the city's funds, you're expecting are lower than last year because there was a special thing that didn't affect the maintenance effort. Is that correct?
There was an increase in $538,000 that was non-recurring money, so it's not to be expected the next year, so we had to back that out. And so, yes, it's less than the year before. It's back at, I believe, the FY16 level.
Okay. So the numbers you're presenting, so if we were fortunate to have that amount of money again this year, then that would be like 1.5%.
Roughly, yes.
Okay. And so one other thing is on you had some for I think transportation or something in there. That's assuming no seatbelt cost or anything like that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do we have any idea what that would hit us for?
I don't have that yet, but it would be very pricey.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have for right now.
Yes.
Ms. Marshall, sorry.
Yeah. First, thank you. I know lots of work goes into these presentations, and it's all nicely packaged, but hours and hours goes in and go into preparation. My questions are really around some of your early slides about comparisons and how we rank for teacher and administrator salary. I'm wondering if, as we come into the work session, if we can get a little more holistic sort of sense. These are a couple of great snapshots, but trying to understand how our teacher credentialing compares with other, and some of these may be data points you can obtain easily, some of them may not be. So for the things that I'm pipe dreaming about, I can take it like a grown-up. But the way our teacher credentials compare to other school systems, we've got beginning teacher salary, but our average teacher salary, teacher tenure, how that impacts our average teacher salary. We hear anecdotally we're heavy on experienced teachers. That would imply that there's going to come a point where that's going to shift and shift quickly. Is that the case? Again, a few more data points to help us understand how we compare, just so that I can flesh out in my head what recruitment actually looks like. Starting teacher salary is one thing, but if we expect teachers who are also going to come in and become credentialed and have advanced degrees the way many of our existing, that impacts the way we want to pay them and compensate them as well. I'm noting that we're 12th in the state for administrator salaries, 23rd in the state for beginning teacher salaries. That feels out of alignment, and I'm trying to understand what the drivers are. Are other systems just paying poorly, and we're in the right place for administration? Or, I mean, what are the drivers there? Just trying to understand, and again, some of those same questions for our administrators. We have very well-credentialed administrators. We've got fine administrators. How do they compare with other districts? Just a little more fleshing out so that we can understand the drivers on those compensation decisions would be super helpful. So.
Other comments? Or other questions. Let's do see if there's any other questions.
I have another question.
Okay, Mr. Eby.
So, Dr. Borchers, I want to make sure I understand. You're not purposefully recommending that the teachers don't, the staff doesn't get a raise. What you've done is you've just taken the budgets of what you expected, and you've looked at the needs that the schools have. You fit within those needs, and there's, based on that, there is just no funds in there for salaries.
Right? Yeah, you saw some of the minimal adjustments we wanted to look at for staffing, and I'm having administrators look at me over here because I think they all know in the 2 months leading up to this, there was a lot more asked than what you're seeing here. So that's exactly right. So at a bare minimum, we said to keep the district moving, to keep the strategies that we're working, that are working, moving forward, that you're seeing bare bones tonight. And I think that's what on Thursday we have to talk about. You know, is there another way, another path? We would love to see our hardworking staff receive an increase. And again, I'll go back to that slide where it said, yes, we have steps and lanes, but 60% of our staff, because of some of the issues Ms. Marshall brought up, would not get an increase with this proposal.
And did I read, like I said, Knox County, they're recommending 3%?
I believe it's 3. Maryville was 3. Anderson County told us yesterday 2. Not sure about Rome, but if you go back to that comparison list, it doesn't take long or too many years to not have an advantage, which I think we've talked about here before. We've lost some of that advantage already.
That's all questions I had.
Ms. McLean.
So our income is based on previous year's income. It's not based on projected increase in income, because when I look at Main Street Oak Ridge, I feel like there's going to be more sales tax money. At least my money is going to be going out and coming in. We can't really project any increased income with increased stores opening.
What the projections are based on for the sales and property tax are what we are estimating to receive this year and then applying a trend type percentage increase to that. And unfortunately, just in the past week, we received the information from the county regarding our average daily attendance. It's called weighted full-time equivalency average daily attendance, mouthful, but it's what it's used in the formulas at the county level to distribute the sales and property tax between Anderson County, Clinton City, and Oak Ridge. And we did have a drop of 302 average daily attendance days. So that affected our formula and what we receive as a portion of the pot. So that affects the year we're in. Typically, these adjustments, the calculations are put together sometime around the first of the year, and then in this time of the year, April, March, April, they usually distribute them, and then they adjust your revenue all the way back to July, back to the first of the year. So we got a big hit, and then going forward, we have hits because of this. So that obviously affected my estimate for going forward. Even though I'm hopeful, I mean, we're increasing, you know, historically there's been a 2% increase on property collections, property tax collections. And I'm not seeing that this year. So I'm a little bit worried about that. Sales tax, a month ago, it was 6-7% more than we received the year before. Now it's dropped down to 2 after this change in ADA. So we're kind of all over the board, and I'm trying to be conservative in my revenues, and because I certainly don't want us to start the year and have to cut back, you know, on what we're spending if the revenue is not materializing. Everything is hopeful that the sales tax will increase and property tax collections will increase as development continues, but right now it's kind of risky to bank on it. We were touched also with the BEP with a loss of 25 students. Basically, ADMs are used in the BEP calculation, which is average daily membership. That's pretty close to enrollment, but it's an average. It's a weighted average. And they weight the months, the attendance months of 2, 3, 6, and 7, with 6 and 7 being the heaviest weighted. And so your BEP calculation is based on your ADMs from the year before. So that's where that part of your question comes in. And we're following the recommendation of the state as far as what they're estimating our portion of the pot will be based on those ADMs. Next week, I should be getting the May estimate, which will be telltale, because normally the April estimate comes out and people realize they have mistakes in their counts, in their ADM, so they go back and fix them. And then the state has to redistribute the whole pot again, so usually in May there's some major changes. I'm hoping it's not going to drop too much. And then we have basically our enrollment that we use to determine student-teacher ratios, distributing allocations to the building. So we have really three different types of student counts that affect our revenue. And our enrollment is projected at minus 36 overall district-wide.
And just to add a little bit to that, you heard the drop. I think you mentioned 25, Karen, students.
ADMs.
Okay, ADMs. So we had about 36 students,
yes.
Actual bodies. And the problem with, you know, you get hit with this reduction, but those 36 kids aren't all in one class or at one grade level or at one building. So you might have 3 at Willowbrook that are gone and, you know, 4 somewhere else that are gone. So it doesn't equate to a loss of staff. Because the kids are still there, they're in our buildings. So that's kind of difficult sometimes for folks to understand, but it's not as easy as saying, oh, 36 kids are gone, we can take care of a section or reduce something, because we still have to serve those kids that are coming in.
Mr. Eby.
Can you go back about 5 slides? I'll tell you where to stop. It's one that has the reduction, number of staff reductions, and then some increases, I think. Back one more. Okay, so I understand the 2.25 from attrition, and then we have the additions. I mean, I think an obvious question is, if we got a reduction in the number of students, why are we having these additions? And I can look at this, and, you know, I totally agree on the network systems administrator. I mean, we sit there and, you know, had a great visit with Doug back there and his team, and those guys, I mean, for us to have the computers out up 99% of the time or whatever it is, there's no doubt in my mind we got to have more staff there. And I think all these two, clearly Naval ROTC, new program, 70 students, I mean, that's a home run. I mean, that addresses a need that the school has had for some time. And I think getting the Naval ROTC is by far the best. And I really think that's fantastic. I think all these others are needed, but I would like for you just to go through, because I'm a challenge and I know other people are going to challenge, why do we need these additions for getting reductions in the staff? So if you could just kind of go through each one of those briefly, like I did for NRO2C and the Network Systems Administrator.
You want us to do that right now, Mr. Eby? I mean, I think
you can do it. You can do it for next Thursday night if you want to do that. Okay.
Other questions? Final comments from anyone?
First, I think, the way you opened the program, you talked about the progress that this school system is making, has made over the last couple of years, and the seven keys and the number of students that are now taking AP classes and the number of students that are involved in industrial certifications or various programs. This school system is on the move, and it's moving in the right direction. Access Oak Ridge. Tech 2020, or the Oak Ridge 2020, where we have a vision for where we want to be in the year 2020, and we're tracking that vision with hard data. This school system is moving in the right direction. We need to do everything that we can to keep that momentum moving forward. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Before I make a final comment, just add, since we started, thankful Councilman Dotson and Councilwoman Ellen Smith for being here, and City Manager Mark Watson as well. I also want to mention that tomorrow night, our television show, Focus on Education, at 6 p.m. will be hosted by Mr. Eby, and his guest will be Steve Reddick tomorrow night. And I would close simply by saying, and certainly echo what Mr. Eby said, the one thing we cannot allow is to step backwards. We do have great momentum in education. That momentum comes from the leadership we have from the superintendent's office and the principals in our school buildings. The dedication that we have and the outstanding teachers that we have in our classroom, the programs that we're now able to offer and the way we offer these programs for our students, it costs money to provide a quality education. We've got to continue to move forward. We've got to continue to provide that quality. And as we look at this budget, the one thing, there are several things that do jump out. The one thing, again, that we've got to, as a board, figure out how we can continue to compensate our teachers at a fair rate, so when it's time for individuals to decide, do they want to accept the contract in Oak Ridge? Do they want to accept it in Hardin Valley? Do they want to accept it in Maryville, Alcoa, wherever? And do we bring those quality teachers, not just from this region, but from across the state and many other states, to teach in this system? We want to be able to offer them the incentive to be here. And I think your question is a very good question that you asked, to take a look at the entire package of what we're seeing and what we have in that package to know where we need to go. So with that said, thank everybody for being here. I look forward to seeing everyone again Thursday night at 5:30. We're adjourned.